You are now listening to the Art of Thinking Smart podcast episode number 9. Hey everybody, glad you can join me for this podcast episode where now I'm going to cover step 2 of the 4-step system to wealth and financial independence. And if you haven't listened to step 1 yet, you can go ahead and go back to artofthinkingsmart.com/8. Again, that's artofthinkingsmart.com/8. And that one, I cover step 1 of the 4-step system. And for this one, I'm excited to now move on to the second step. And basically, as I mentioned before, I've created the system after studying, really, you know, creating thousands of financial plans, talking in front of combined tens of thousands of people about finances. And one of the things that we know, Americans, and I know there's a lot of foreign people out there who have a lot greater savings than we do, but we Americans, we are spendaholics. And we actually, on average, our savings account balance is just under $4,000. We have 40% that are not saving for retirement. We have 30% plus that have no retirement savings at all. And as a result of it, we're going to have some big issues when it comes to people needing to retire. And not only that, is that we want to live life where we want to be able to travel, meet our financial goals. And some of the issues are that people are having to work longer than they wanted to. In fact, in our country, America, we've had 24% of people have postponed retirement. That's 1 out of 4 that were planning on retiring and waited and are working longer. And a lot of them don't want to do what they're doing. And they want to really live a life that is financially free. And financially free mean you can do whatever you like and you don't have to worry about, can I afford it? You can if you are financially free, and you can just pick up one day and say, hey, honey, your spouse, family, friends, let's go ahead and take a trip to Europe. Let's take a trip to Asia, South America. It doesn't matter. And you have the money to do it. That is what financially free is. And it also means that you could, you know, spend time to do charity. You could spend time to spend more time with your family. You can do a lot of things that you wanted to do to help others that you wouldn't be able to do if you were too busy trying to make ends meet and trying to work. And so, if you followed in the other podcasts, step 1 was about creating a smart mentality. Say it again, it's about creating a smart mentality. And then you may be thinking, okay, so what does that have to do with money? Bottom line is that a lot of people have an incorrect definition of wealth. They do not have the right mentality when it comes to money. A typical example are, how many NFL pro athletes, NBA baseball players go bankrupt? I talked about statistics that almost, you know, 70%, we're seeing a lot of NFL players a few years after they leave the NFL. So they'll have an average season, let's say 3 or 4 years, and they're bankrupt or broke. And even NBA players, huge percentage. In fact, when you look at even lottery winners that have won millions of dollars, majority of them actually really were, they regretted winning that money. They even talked about how their life is worse off now after winning the lottery than they did beforehand because it created havoc. We had one lottery winner where his brother hired a hitman to kill him. And obviously that strains family relationships. We've had others that family members got all this money. Some became drug addicts, alcohol. We had a lot of people that even when they had the money, they were even more miserable. And the reason is that your income won't be able to keep you where your mindset can't hold you. It doesn't matter how much your money you make, it matters how much money you're able to keep. And that's where a mindset comes in. When you have a mindset that physical possessions aren't everything, where you have a mindset that, you know what, wealth isn't tied to what's in my bank account. There are significant different types of wealth out there, and I talked about it in part 1, so you can kind of see it, and I'll briefly describe that you have physical wealth, you have emotional wealth. mental wealth and spiritual wealth. That's what I called your inner stable table. And like the four legs of a table, each one you want it to be balanced. You want to grow each one in a balanced way, or you're still going to be unhappy. Your physical may be good, your emotional may be good, but if your mental, spiritual, financial are no good, it really makes life more difficult. The outer stable table, that's where money comes in. Your financial wealth, your professional wealth, the job you have, you love doing it, social wealth, family, relationship wealth, and then lastly, your environmental wealth. And those are the four legs of your outer stable table. And so as you can see, there's a lot more to wealth than just money. And unfortunately, in our society, we really equate wealth to what is the biggest car or biggest house you have, or the best car that you drive, or what's your bling bling that you have. And that's very unfortunate, because when society tells you what wealth is and you try to go after wealth that really was not wealth to you, and you don't get it, then you are seen as a failure. The happiest people I know aren't the wealthiest. Why? Because they have enough to get by, but they love their job. They have great family friends around them. They love their surroundings. Their physical health-wise, they're good. Emotionally, they're very satisfied, they're mature, mentally, they're smart, they're fulfilled in what they do, and spiritually, they know their why, and that's why they can endure any how. So that's part of having a smart mentality, is understanding the different types of wealth, defining it, and then growing each leg of it. And also understanding that the biggest myth out there is wealth is tied to your bank account, and it's not. Because if it is, every NFL player should be extremely wealthy, but as I mentioned before, 78% after they leave are either broke or they went bankrupt. Major League Baseball players, they go bankrupt 4 times the national average. And then when we look at NBA players, they're no better off. It's all 60% in 5 years after they leave the NBA. And so your smart mentality is your foundation. With a strong foundation, no matter what happens, you're able to stand firm. And those that don't have it, you know, and one of the things I'll kind of end on this. So the famous singer Rihanna, she sued her financial advisor back in 2009, saying that, oh, you know what, he didn't advise me correctly, and I bought, you know, $10-20 million worth of stuff. I don't know the exact number, but long story short, from what I read and heard, is that, you know, she spent a lot of money that year and had a little show for it, and sued her accountant, blaming him for the mistakes. And the accountant said back, hey, you know what? I don't know. Am I supposed to tell you that if you buy things, you're going to end up with things and not money? And so he was pretty much saying, and he did settle out of court and paid her a lot of money, but his, gist of it was saying, you know what? If you spend money, you're not going to have money anymore. And that's part of having a smart mentality, is making sure that, again, what you, how you view things is more important than what you view, and your income won't be able to keep you where your mindset can't hold you. And part of my 4-step course that I'll be launching very soon, and you can go to artofsmartmoney.com. That's artofsmartmoney.com, where I will launch the course. I'll go in depth on each step. I'll help you get to where you want to be when it comes to wealth and financial freedom. Okay, so let's talk about step two of the 4-step system. Step two is creating smart strategies. I say that again, it's creating smart strategies. And what this means, you're creating plans, actionable plans that are designed to achieve the wealth and financial freedom you want. And for many know that I graduated from West Point, spent my time in the military, I'm still in the National Guard. And as an intelligence officer, I do a lot of the planning, and really is figuring out, okay, our unit is doing this, we anticipate the enemy doing this, and this is how we're gonna act in response. Here is how we are gonna support our actions. Here is how we will counter-react to what other people are doing. And that's what planning is. It is about logistics being, money, supplies, having the resources to back up what you're gonna do. And a lot of people in the Army, what we have is this saying that planning is for amateurs and logistics is for professionals. So part of creating these smart strategies is to create the plan and also the logistics and resources to leverage and better use them to carry out your plan. So part of creating this is learning to ask the right questions, what I call asking the smart questions. In life, you know, we're taught to look for the right answers. And you know, we do that in school. People give us these questions. We have to find the right ones, and that's how we're graded. The issue is that when you carry that over into life and you're only looking for the right answers, that means somebody has already wrote the question for you. And if you're writing the, if someone's writing the question for you and all you are is answering that, you're reactive. You're waiting for somebody to ask it and then you're going to react to it. You don't want to do that. You want to be proactive. By learning to ask these smart questions, you solicit new ideas, you find new opportunities, and you want to be first in the market. Facebook, yeah, you know, there was Friendster out there, but they moved quickly. And that's what we're finding in today's world is that it's no longer the big eating the small. It's the fast that beat the slow. That's why Circuit City, Blockbuster, Borders, billion-dollar companies gone is because people were quick companies. They were fast. They didn't wait till somebody asked them questions. They generated the question saying, hey, what is it that we need to do? And they did it before the competition did. They beat them and then they survived. This is just like us in financial planning, almost like a small company where we're doing things, expenses, and then we're getting our income. And we have to be able to grow ourselves as well as the job that we're in to be able to make sure we can keep that job and make the money. And not only that, once we do, how do we keep it? So I'm going to tell you the three most important questions you need to ask when it comes to finances. In fact, these three most important questions are anything in life, in my opinion. It's all the different levels of wealth. You know, I talked about physically, mentally, emotionally. These three questions are very important on all of them. And a lot of times, people don't know these three questions. They only do because everybody else is doing it around them. And that's like the Lemming Award, right? These lemmings are these small, like kind of rat little things that follow each other. And one goes off the cliff, all the follow afterwards. And that's what really our life has become. You know, when I was in the military as a, or active duty officer, I had a lot of my soldiers. And at that time, Latrell Sprewell, I guess he was the one who invented those spinning rims, you know, like $5,000. And so soldiers saw them, wow, this guy's got spinning rims. That's really cool. I better buy them too. But guess what? You know, a couple months later on the lemon lot, they're trying to sell the car because they can't afford it. They were able to buy it at one shot, but then the monthly payments they couldn't maintain. And I asked them, well, why'd you buy it? Well, it's because everyone else had it and I thought I needed one too. And see, that was being reactive, is I thought I need to do this because everybody else is. You are reacting to what other people are doing. So part of creating these smart strategies are answering these three most important questions so you are proactive. The first one is, where am I now? The second one is, where do I want to go? The third one is how will I get there? So the first one is, where am I now? And that one, let's look at it as a map. When you're looking at a map, the map is worthless unless you know where you are, right? And then the map is also not going to be helpful unless you know where you want to go. And then the third question is how will I get there? So when you say, I want to get to point B on a map, and you look at me and I say, okay, well, where are you now? Well, I don't know. Then I can't tell you how to get there. It's like buying thousands of dollars worth of GPS. Back then, now it's in your phone, but you know, when they first started and the satellites weren't as good, you could spend all the money. You could enter in the GPS where you want to go, but it couldn't catch with the signal of the satellite. So it didn't know where you're at. So it was worthless. The GPS did not work because it did not know one of the two points that they need. One is where do you want to go? And the other one is where I am now. And I'll talk about how do you answer each one of those. And the third one is how will I get there? So now that you know point B, point A, sometimes, yeah, the shortest distance is two straight lines, but what if there's mountains, swamps, rivers? You can't just go through them or try to over them because you may not be able to make it. So you have to find your way around them. And life will throw you obstacles. There will be mountains that you come across that you didn't anticipate. There are river streams, swampy areas that plopped in front of you that you didn't, you know, anticipate. And you could do one of two things. You just sit there and say, oh, well, I give up. Or you could say, okay, I still know where I need to go. I still know where I am now. And then I'll still try to figure out. So these three important questions, what we do is we answer them through smart strategies, which is step two. And where I am now, pretty much you figure that out by evaluating your current personal and financial status. And I'll talk about the financial status first. That is creating a budget and net worth statement. And already I could see people's eyes glaze over, oh, budget or net worth statement. I understand. I don't like doing them too. But if you go to my blog, artofthinkingsmart.com/9, where this podcast is hosted, I have links where you can get access to these tools that are very easy to use. And some of the software, all you do is connect your accounts. It automatically calculates this. And what it pretty much does is says, okay, you are making $50,000 a year. You have a budget or you're spending $51,000. Guess what? You're negative $1,000. So if that's all you have, your net worth is minus $1,000 because you have debt. And part of knowing where you are now is saying, I want to become a millionaire. Okay, great. That's where you want to go. But if you, where you are now will depend how you get there. If you have $0, you have to get 1 million. What if you have 500,000? All right. That's a lot easier. You only need to get 500,000 now. What if you were a million in debt? Now it's no longer, I want to become a millionaire. I actually want to make $2 million because I need 1 million to make up the debt and 1 million to become a millionaire. That's why it's so important that you know where you are now. Part of the personal status I talk about is the life balance sheet. And you can also see the link to it on the website, artofthinkingsmart.com/9, where you want to know your personal assets and your personal liabilities. Your assets would be your knowledge. It's your schooling, your degrees, your experience. Your liabilities are your bad habits that you've picked up probably, or your negative thinking, negative psychological mindset. And you want to figure out, what is it that I can do to build on my assets? I maybe take more classes. I learn a new skill, trade. I do some research. That is your personal status. Physically, maybe you want to work out more because that's very important. And through the course, I talk about how managing your energy, your physical aspect is so important to finances. Why? Because it helps you make better decisions. You're on top of your game. And this is only, I'm just scratching the surface. And I go in depth on the 4-step course, which I'm really excited to be launching pretty soon. And if you're listening to this podcast after I launched already, you're very lucky. You can still go to artofsmartmoney.com and get the course. So part of where you are now is knowing your budget, your financial cash statement, how you're spending money, and how much money you're bringing in, and then also your net worth. How much assets do you have? Your bank account, how much your real estate, your personal property, cars, all that, and then your liabilities, your debt, credit cards, your loans, mortgages. You subtract your debts, your liabilities from your assets. And whatever's left over, which is the positive, hopefully, is your net worth. And you can have negative net worth if you have too much debt, which happened in 2009. Okay, so the second question is, where do I want to go? And this is goal setting. And I found a lot of people that don't really set goals very well. And I've talked about creating SMART goals. And you can see on the blog post page, the podcast page, how I create a formula. It's SMART goals. The S is specific. M is measurable. A is attainable. R is relevant. And T is time bound. These are SMART goals. Because if you say, I just want to become very wealthy, it's very too difficult, because what is wealthy to you? How much is it? Also, how are you going to measure you got it? And is wealthy attainable? Is it something that you can get? And you want to make sure that it's relevant to what you want. You can say, I want to be wealthy money-wise, but you find out, you know what? I don't really care about money. I care more about having a job that I want. And the other thing too is time bound. Time bound is, I want to become wealthy. Well, is it 60 years, 70, 80, 10 years, 20? So that's why you want to set SMART goals. In addition to that, part of where you want to go is your personal and professional vision, right? What is it that you want to accomplish with your life? Your vision is, you know, why you want to do things. It's something that you can barely, you can't really reach it. You're always striving for it. A vision example would be, hey, I want to be the best podcaster out there, right? I'm always going to be striving for that. But I know where I want to go is to be the best at that. Your mission is what you do. What is it that you do? Right? Because a lot of people don't know it. In fact, they have plenty of polls out there showing that people have no idea what they do when they show up to work. They just show up because they applied, got the job, and they really don't know what their purpose is. And that's part of your mission, vision, and then your values are what govern you. It is your right and left boundaries. My values are I'm going to stick with believing in this, and I'm only going to do what that is. So that's your second question. Where do I want to go? And again, I'm going to go a lot more in depth. I try to keep my podcast down to, 25 minutes, and I can't go through everything, but the course, each one of these questions is at least 20, 30 minutes as I go through them that I help each of you reach them. Okay, the third question is how will I get there? How will I get there? And that's the biggest thing is, okay, now I know where I am, where I want to go, and how I will get there is your map. And this is where financially, we use a financial planning process. We use what we call the life cycle planning process. Life cycle planning is people, when you just start your careers, are in your career start phase. Then as you get a little bit long, you're in your career development, then your peak career earnings, then your pre-retirement, retirement. And so your plans are different what age you are and where you are in the life cycle. I have something called the Smart Financial Planning Pyramid. And the pyramid, I have it on the blog, is about the first bottom layer of the pyramid is make sure that you're protecting your wealth. Second is you're accumulating your wealth. Third, you're investing in it. You're making sure that you are distributing it back to you, so you're using it the way you want. And then the fourth, very top of the pinnacle, is you're transferring that wealth to others. And so you want to make sure you have each of the pyramids there. How will I get there? Huge component is overcoming obstacles. Because a lot of times obstacles are very similar and we all respond to them differently. Some shut down, some thrive, some don't know what to do and it sets them back. And by knowing these tips, it can help you really overcome some of the obstacles. So those are the three most important questions. And again, for how will I get there, I help you create financial plans. And part of the financial plan is being able to know, okay, it is knowing that here are my resources, I've set my goals, I know my risk tolerance, and what we call the confidence zone. And so I'm really big into confidence zone is the probability of success that you're going to meet all your goals, given the resources that you have and how you're going to implement your plan. And so that is what's part of how you will get there is nothing is 100%. Nothing is guaranteed in life unless, like Benjamin Franklin said, death and taxes. And so what we can't do is we can't guarantee anything, but you can be confident that I have X amount of dollars. I'm going to invest it like this. I'm going to save this. I'm going to live life like this. My goal is to have $1 million in 10 years. And if I do what I'm doing, I have a 90% chance that I'm going to reach it. Great. That's a good plan, a very basic one that we talk about. And so that's step three, again, is creating these plans with your life cycle planning, your financial planning, and your pyramid. And so part of now creating these smart strategies are once you have them financially, right? You got your plan set up. You have a good foundation on having this smart mentality. You have these plans of actions. And what we want to do is plan for contingencies. And this is what we call the what if plans. What if plans are, well, what if this happens? Then I will do this. Well, what if, plan B has to kick into place? Am I ready for it? And so that's part of creating this is what ifs. And what I do as part of this course is run what's called a Monte Carlo simulation. So it's not, debt or like a gambling or casino thing. All it is we do 10,000 sample trials of different variables. So you have a plan And there's 10,000 things plus that can go wrong. Interest rate, inflation, you know, debt, all that stuff. And we run all of these different regressions. You know, I'm kind of getting into the math side of things. But long story short, by doing these 10,000 trials, we find out what's the best case scenario, the worst case scenario, and the most likely course of action, the most likely scenario. And we shoot for that most likely. It'd be great if we can get the best. If we get the worst, what we want to do is the worst will still meet your goals, but it won't be as good as obviously what's most likely. And part of these plans are when you plan for them, you want to have a good loss cushion and what we call stress testing. And stress testing is if 2008 were to happen again, would you still be able to meet your goals? Do you have enough cushion of a loss if the stock market went down and didn't recover for several years to still meet your goals? And if we could still get your confidence zone up above 80 to 90%, even with the loss cushion, great. That means you have a good plan. And that's what part of step two is doing, is answering the three questions. And then once you have those three questions, make sure that no matter what life throws at you, you're still able to do that. So that's step two. I go through a lot more in the course, artofsmartmoney.com. And just to recap, we talked about step one is creating the smart mentality where your mindset is. That's where your income will hold you at. Step two is creating the smart strategies, which is answering the three most important questions. Where will I go? Right? That's setting your smart goals, your vision, your mission in life. Now, and then next one being, you know, where am I now? And that one is, you know, your current budget, current net worth statement. It's your current personal status, even your personality now. And I have this personality test that you can go to, Myers-Briggs. It's your personality test that we see, your social styles test. That's how you socially deal with people. And when you know your personality, your strengths and weaknesses, and you leverage your strengths, you end up becoming a lot more successful. That's what studies have shown. Then the third question is, how will I get there? And that's creating the smart financial plans. It's creating life cycle planning, overcoming obstacles, and also your smart financial planning pyramid. So I'm very excited that you're able to join me for this podcast, and you can see that all this is very important. It may seem overwhelming, but thankfully I've broken it down for you that it's easy for you to start implementing, and we can go ahead and start putting you on the path to wealth and financial freedom. I'll see you for our next podcast, and I look forward to joining with you towards your prosperity on the four-step system to wealth and financial freedom over at theartofsmartmoney.com.